they crouched together in filthy hovels in the suburbs of the large cities. They were apt to get sick and die from terrible epidemics. They were all profoundly discontented. They had fought for their country, and this was their reward. They were always willing to listen to those plausible spellbinders who gather around a public grievance like so many hungry vultures, and soon they became a grave menace to the safety of the state. But the class of the newly rich shrugged its shoulders. "We have our army and our policemen," they argued. "They will keep the mob in order." And they hid themselves behind the high walls of their pleasant villas, and cultivated their gardens and read the poems of a certain Homer, which a Greek slave had just translated into very pleasing Latin hexameters. In a few families, however, the old tradition of unselfish service to the commonwealth continued. Cornelia, the daughter of Scipio Africanus, had been married to a Roman by the name of Gracchus. She had two sons, Tiberius and Gaius. When the boys grew up, they entered politics and tried to bring about certain much-needed reforms. A census had shown that most of the land of the Italian peninsula was owned by 2,000 noble families. Tiberius Gracchus, having been elected a tribune, tried to help the freemen. He revived two ancient laws, which restricted the number of acres which a single owner might possess. In this way, he hoped to revive the valuable old class of small and independent freeholders. The newly rich called him a robber and an enemy of the state,